Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Hello, Bat fans. Welcome back to episode 26 of Beyond the Batcave. We've had a massive 2 to 3 weeks in news, so we're going to be flying through this episode, hitting all the major points, getting you excited, most importantly, about what is to come. My name is Andy Piper.
And I'm Taylor Jackson.
And here we go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to insert the Joker saying that instead of me. It'll be cool. And if I forget, then you'll laugh at me. Okay, so let's get talking about some news, right? Okay, so we'd hinted at this before, but it's now official. The Batman has a new director, Matt Reeves, of Planet of the Apes fame, or Rise of the Planet of the Apes or something. I still haven't seen his movies. What's your reaction to this, Taylor?
I think it's great. He's definitely got... He is a world builder. And we haven't really seen much of Gotham yet. We got a little bit with Deadshot, but I'm like Gotham, you know, Batman has to have, even in the DC universe, he has his own world more than anybody else, you know? Because you spend more time there, and there's kind of more...
That's true.
More of it, all of that. Anyways, so I'm excited. I really love Cloverfield. I only saw the first of the new Planet of the Apes, which I don't think Matt Reeves did.
No, I think you started with the second one.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a Planet of the Apes marathon. We can live tweet it.
There we go. But I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay, me too. I feel pretty much the same as I did about this last episode, to be honest. Matt Reeves is cool.
He seems like he has a good attitude approaching the project,
yeah,
too.
I will repeat my warning about chimpanzees. They're dangerous. Don't approach them, no matter how good Matt Reeves makes them look. Never look them right in the eye. Or don't look Batman right in the eye. That's a good segue, because he is much like a great ape. He will take you down if you try to establish dominance through eye contact. So, we're thrilled to have Matt Reeves directing the Batman.
Yeah. More than anything, I'm just happy that, you know, the cat's out of the bag and we can move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. The movie seems to be in good shape. We're headed in the right direction. Everybody's happy with the script now. Ben Affleck's still playing Batman. You guys didn't ruin that, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, the media out there that wouldn't stop asking about writing the script.
Seriously. And like, there was this whole fiasco of just, like, kind of DCEU rapture that, like, people were like, oh, is the Batman actually going to happen? And now we don't, like, guys, calm down.
To be honest, they write articles like that no matter what happens.
Right, that's true.
But they'll put that spin on anything.
I feel like even some of the faithful were a little quaking in their boots.
All right. Well, nothing to fear. Matt Reeves is here. So, a couple weeks ago, we got a cool bit of footage from Zack Snyder on Twitter. You know, I always get excited when my phone notifies me that Zack Snyder has tweeted something, because It's usually a tidbit of awesomeness, such as he released on his birthday. And what was it, Taylor?
It was an incredibly beautiful clip of Aquaman swimming underwater. He kind of just... He's like making an approach, as you will, to... Yeah. I'm not sure where exactly he's landing. It looks like a kind of... Almost like a relic-y area underwater.
Maybe some ruins.
Or some
Who
ruins,
knows?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a parallel I was thinking of. It was hard for me to comprehend why I found this footage so beautiful, but now I know. It's because it's a perfect complement. You know how beautiful it looks when Superman flies or just gracefully floats through the air in Man of Steel and Batman v Superman? Zack Snyder has brought that same kind of grace and cat-like litheness to Aquaman underwater. It's a very similar motion, I noticed.
Yeah.
Superman just kind of glides through the air wherever he goes. It seems as if he's propelling himself not with his muscles or his body, but his mind. Like, he just thinks where he wants to go and he moves there.
Yeah.
It seems kind of like the same.
And it looks so natural. Like, there's been some examples, some intentional, some less intentional, like where that flying isn't quite as natural. Like, one intentional is a recent episode I watched of Young Justice, where Connor gets Superman-like powers to fight, you know, the new...
Like, with
the
his little nicotine patches?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but, like, the first time he flies, it's, like, super awkward. Obviously, that's intentional, but then...
You're getting close to the end of Young Justice, Taylor. That's a late episode.
Season one. And then the less intentional one is Supergirl. Like, the early fight scenes and flight scenes of Supergirl are, like, super awkward. You can almost, like, see the wires that they're on. But, anyways, I think it looks really good, and that's why I love it so much. It just like flows like it should.
That's good. Yeah, it looks great. Obviously, a movie with a visual guy that's this good and the budget like that, we're going to get some top-notch visual effects, and they don't seem to be letting us down. Mm-hmm. Everything we've seen from Justice League so far has looked fantastic.
It gets me more and more excited.
Okay, well... Oh, he also, a couple days after, shared this picture, I believe, on his Vero account, and it was a behind-the-scenes picture from that clip. So we see Jason Momoa shirtless and kind of locked into like this lime green torture device, like suspended about 6 feet above the ground.
It looks like one of those grabbers, you know, that you like get with your finger.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he's just caught in one of those.
So it's cool that they didn't just make a CG Jason Momoa, you know what I mean? That was him using some massive core strength to hold himself in such a beautiful position. Seriously. And then his hair was CGI, and obviously the water in the background. But anyway, that's very cool. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Let's move on. Sorry, we're flying because we've got so much Wonder Woman to talk about. Hopefully we'll be arriving soon to the Wonder Woman news. But, okay, so this is a new topic. We've not discussed it before, so maybe we'll give this one a little attention. The Lego Batman movie director, Chris McKay, had a meeting with Geoff Johns about directing a live-action DC Comics movie, and he said it looks like things went well. Then later on, rumors break from The Hollywood Reporter that Chris McKay is currently in talks to direct a live-action Nightwing movie. What is our reaction to this, Taylor?
I'm super excited. I think it was a long time coming. Both generally just to see Nightwing on the big screen, but I think this was a good next step in the DCEU. I think we've kind of set up the world a little bit to where Nightwing can exist here, and it would be good. Batman's world is kind of in a place where Nightwing can exist, and I'm really excited. I didn't think I would be this excited for a Nightwing movie, but the more I hear about it, the more I think about it, I'm all green lights.
Total world of possibility. I just had a thought, a theory even. We could add this to the famous bucket of theories. What if the person that we are casting as Nightwing right now is actually in line to become Dick Grayson Batman? Because people were speculating that Ben Affleck might step down as Batman. He's been Batman in Batman v Superman, in Justice League, Suicide Squad. He's already been in three films. The Batman will be his fourth, making him the Batman with the most longevity out of anybody. If he steps down, then this Nightwing could step up and be the new Batman without having to reboot Batman, recast him. He could be the Dick Grayson, you know? And I think that would be very cool to see on screen.
I think it would be very cool. I think this Batman still needs time in the cooker. I'd like to see even like a Justice League sequel still with Ben Affleck, and maybe like something happens
there. I'm not advocating for Ben Affleck to leave because I love him. Right. But maybe that's on the back of their minds over at Warner Brothers.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think it would be cool. The world isn't quite ready.
The world isn't ready for Dick Grayson Batman. That would mean we could get Damian Wayne in a movie. The world may not be ready for that either.
When is the world ready for Damian Wayne?
A full 3/4 of all comic book fans hate Damian Wayne with a passion, I think. Anyway, so Nightwing's coming. We've talked about possible actors before, just between ourselves. You said Armie Hammer before, and I didn't really like that, but thinking about him being Dick Grayson Batman, I do like that.
Mm.
So if that happens, I support Armie Hammer. If not, I support Taron Egerton from Kingsman. That's the movie I've seen him in. He was awesome. He's got the look. He could be a little small, though. Like, he might have a baby face forever. Who knows?
Yeah. My other pick would be for Finn Wittrock.
Finn Wittrock.
Yeah. This is my man. He's got the look more than anybody else I've seen. He's just got, like, jet black Nightwing hair.
He's so suave.
He's
got a jawline that could cut sexual tension, maybe.
Yeah.
It could create it and cut it.
Exactly. All at the same time. And he's a good height. He's like 4 inches shorter than Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that's kind of how I imagine
yeah.
Bruce and the young Master Grayson to be. Mm-hmm. You want to see him a little shorter than Batman.
Yeah, but I don't know. So that's my other pick, besides Army.
Okay, so you, the listeners, let us know who you support to be cast as Nightwing, if indeed this is going to happen. And we will throw our weight around a little bit, and we'll get it. We'll get whoever you want to be cast to be cast.
We have those kind of connections.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's move on. We're talking a little Suicide Squad 2. There were rumors that Mel Gibson was possibly going to be in the director's seat for this one. He was cornered by Entertainment Weekly at the Oscars, I think. And they just straight up asked him, hey, are you directing Suicide Squad 2? And he was like, well, what did he say? I just met some guys about some story points. It's not a done deal or anything, but it's just fun to shoot the bull when it comes to stories. I love doing it. And if we can elevate any kind of concept, it's good. We'll see. So that's fine. I am super ambivalent towards Mel Gibson. I have no opinion of him.
Yeah. I think the stuff that he does is very grand and majestic in scale, and like he is very noteworthy. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time seeing his vision unfold in a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he's never touched anything like this before.
Yeah.
Everything else has been, like you said, very grand, epic, large scale.
And I'd like to know a little bit more. Like, I haven't seen a lot of his films, I'll be honest. But I'd like to know a little bit more, like, as far as how he treats characters. Because, like, character development was so huge for Suicide Squad. It was all about just character interactions and things like that. And, I don't know, my first impression is that Mel Gibson doesn't have quite that, you know, kind of at the forefront of his films. But I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Me neither. I'm just.
We'll do a little Mel Gibson research. We'll find out. Okay, so we arrive at main topic. We missed one. I'm sorry.
Just one. Go ahead. We just wanted to give a shout out to the Suicide Squad because they won an Oscar. They were nominated. We mentioned that in the previous episode, but they won an Oscar, and I think that's great.
The Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad, and you know what? We have Will Smith and Adewale to thank for this victory. With their hairstyling was amazing, and that's something I've joked about with Taylor before. Like, how could they lose with Will Smith's hair?
That's a win-win-win.
A win-win-win.
Yeah,
triple. I don't know what the third win
is. It's a triple threat.
Exactly. So, yeah, the hair in that movie honestly was great. I don't know whose hair they're talking about besides Harley Quinn, really. In all seriousness, I don't know what hair they're talking about.
Well, it's hairstyling and makeup.
And makeup.
So, like, you think about Killer Croc.
Yeah, his face is makeup.
You know. Like,
Enchantress was freaky looking.
Mm-hmm. So, I think you got just a lot of good
solid characters. That's true. Because, you know, I forgot the guy's name that plays Diablo. What's his name?
Oh.
Jay Hernandez.
Uh-huh.
He does not have a skull tattooed over his face. That was fake. I don't know how hard that is to pull off, but that was another big makeup thing, I'm sure. I'm sure it's no small thing to put a tattoo over somebody's entire head.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was our little plug.
The Oscar-winning Suicide Squad, Academy Award-winning. It's classy now. We can talk about it and not be ashamed in front of our friends.
Put it on a plaque and put it at your next day job.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to have a plaque for the Oscar for Suicide Squad on my desk. Okay. Let's talk Lego Batman movie. We've seen it. You guys have seen it. We're ready to talk. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty,
mm-hmm.
Talk some spoilers. There will be no spoiler-free review right now. We're just going to get straight to it.
It's been almost like a month since it's been out.
You should have seen this movie. If you're a Bat fan, I know you have seen it. So, Taylor, let's start off with your thoughts.
I loved it, and in addition to that, I loved it. Those are my general thoughts. I just thought it was such a good tribute to Batman. I thought it was a very deep and compelling story, because my biggest fear when this movie was announced was that the Lego movie's Batman was so one-note that I'm like, I'm going to get sick of that movie in 10 minutes if I have to watch that. But they gave him enough heart and enough variety and threw him in enough different situations that it was always fresh. I never got tired of him, even when he was, you know, a jerk a lot of the times, if you will.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was so good, and it worked for fans on so many levels. Like, it worked for people who just loved the Lego movie. It worked for casual Batman fans and hardcore Batman fans, all at different levels. So I thought, those are my initial impressions. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, to me, this movie seems a real crowd pleaser. The theater that I was in, the reception was great. Laughing at all the right times, cheering at all the right times. Iron Man Sucks got a big laugh in my theater. There are lots of things that got a big laugh. But also, which I think this is important, there were a couple times in the theater where I was the only person laughing, because I was the only person that got the obscure Batman reference. So I thought that was cool. I will say, I do not think I loved it quite as much as you, because for me, they did push it a little far sometimes with Batman, and I thought he was pretty dang annoying in a couple scenes. But that's about it. I mean, I did appreciate that this was an arc about a character who was annoying in the Lego Batman movie. I mean, he could be annoying if he was in a whole movie.
Right.
I did not find him annoying when I watched the Lego movie, but I was like, dang, watching a whole movie about that guy could be rough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the arc was, how do we take him and make him likable again? He learned that he needs his Bat family around him. He learned to appreciate his villains. He learned that he hates the Joker. It was a feel-good movie. Just packed with Easter eggs, which I just adored those. Like Bane's voice, or the Let's Get Nuts playlist remix, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
I liked that. I don't know. If I had to give this movie a score, it's the 5 out of 7 Lego Batarangs. Or 7 out of 9 of Batman's 9-pack. So he's just missing a few ab muscles in there.
Poor Lego Batman.
Yeah. Probably doesn't feel good, but little does he know, it makes for a pretty good movie.
Yeah. I would probably give this an A-. I really, really liked it. There were a couple times where just like it got a little wonky for me. Like we've talked a little bit about. I felt like the ending, while it was weird, like it just wasn't, I wanted it to be a little more Batman-esque of like a how to save the city, you know, like.
Yeah, it's true. It maybe was a little bit more Lego than Batman at the end of it when it came down to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know, and just like the abs obsession, like I never really got that vibe from, you know, like even the Lego Batman from the Lego movie. And so it was just like it made sense, but like saving the city by doing a core workout, I was just like, yeah. All right, it was a little lackluster for me. But other than that, I just loved watching this movie. I love the contrast. Michael Cera's Robin was just spot on.
Oh, man, Robin was so great.
All the pop culture references.
I think he was my favorite.
Yeah,
I do.
He made this movie.
I wouldn't want to quote him because the quotes sound pretty... they just wouldn't sound good coming out of a grown man's mouth.
Especially out of context.
Yeah, but he was hilarious. Just situationally... trying to have him hide in the shadows with his like cape that's covered in sequins. It's sparkling everywhere. That was great. I think they did a really good job in this movie of putting characters into situations that created humor organically. Like, it wasn't a lot of just forcing jokes over and over again. I mean, that did happen here and there. But a lot of it was just, how would Batman and Robin react in this situation? You know, how would Batman feel when he's not invited to the Justice League party in the Fortress of Solitude? And then we got to see that. How would it be if Batman was trying to raise a son or somebody that really wanted to love him and get close to him, but he's just going to push him away? I thought the character interactions there were really funny, and a lot of them had some heart. They tugged at my heartstrings.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else to say really about this. I mean, unless we're going like, you know, hour-long in-depth thing.
Maybe when it comes out on Blu-ray or something, we can watch special features, do another episode. Depends on how the demand is. You guys let us know what you think, and we can do that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the big news of the day. Now, this stuff gave me goosebumps earlier. A lot of this is going to be older news, but as we move up to the more recent stuff, you'll see why I'm so excited. Okay, so first of all, this was a couple weeks ago. David Thewlis, hopefully I'm saying that right, he's of Harry Potter fame. He played Professor Lupin in The Prisoner of Azkaban and a couple of the later movies. He has been cast as Ares, and this was sourced by somebody. I'll track that down in a second.
Well, that is Batman News reported that first.
Batman News reported this. Oh, this was their exclusive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We will have something interesting to add to that later on.
Yeah. So, you know, put a bookmark in that.
Yeah, we'll just put a pin in it. We'll be back. So imagine Professor Lupin as Ares. They say he's a mix of CGI and practical effects and that he is the main villain in the movie. Not surprised. That's all I have to say about it.
Neither am I.
We've been preaching about Ares for like 8 months.
I mean, it is good to like hear, like officially, yeah, outside of our speculations, that we're going to have Ares and it's going to probably look like Ares. You know, just this big, you know, god of a man.
Yeah, absolutely. We also got a little confirmation about Dr. Poison. Again, we're not surprised. Mm-hmm. That was an Empire, the issue of Empire magazine that came out that featured Wonder Woman heavily, referenced her as Dr. Poison in the caption for one of their photos. So, there we go. Another little confirmation.
Everything you've always wanted, a Dr. Poison movie.
Yeah.
You can sleep well tonight.
I didn't know I needed that.
Well, now you do.
To be honest, there's a lot of things about this movie I didn't know I needed. I didn't know that Wonder Woman was going to be so cool on a horse, but now I can't imagine seeing her without a horse. You know what I mean?
Like, use her legs for running? That's just weird.
She doesn't just walk through misty woods. She rides a horse. Mm-hmm. That much is obvious to me now. Okay, so let's come up to the most important points of the day. So first of all, Collider had a set visit back in February, then they had another one like last week, and they finally got to release their set reports, and there's a ton of cool stuff in here. Honestly, way too much for us to share with you guys, but I did pick out some points that I thought are cool. There's 5 different articles, so I tried to pick out like the most interesting things out of all of those, and I will provide the links in the show notes so you can go read them if you'd like. Or you can just go to Collider if you know how to use the internet, like most people do.
We're assuming you got this far because you know how to use the internet.
I mean, hopefully you didn't just stumble in here like totally blind. Well, now you're listening to this podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Batcave.
Have we got some things to tell you about the internet? Okay, so first of all, I want to talk about the story of Wonder Woman. This comes from one of their first articles. So he says this is the writer for Collider. Let me get his name really quick. Got to give proper credit here. This is Matt Goldberg, who has been known to be a bit of a DC Universe hater. Batman v Superman and Man of Steel, anyway. Which, obviously, doesn't lower my opinion of him as a journalist, unless we let him become biased. So let's try to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
That in mind, let's see what he says. Overall, the film looks a bit of a combination between Thor and Captain America, the First Avenger. The stuff in Themyscira is Thor, parentheses, a god who has never known the human world, and the stuff in World War I is Captain America, a superhero in the middle of a worldwide mechanized war. And audiences, having accepted both those movies, should have no trouble investing in the tone Jenkins is going for. So, my first thought about that is, he's right, maybe with the plot points of the movie, they may be playing a little safe.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is a smart move. Mm-hmm. Considering that Man of Steel and Batman v Superman were huge swings, and some might call them misses. Especially when it comes to the risks they took creatively.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, I was a fan. I don't know if I could be a bigger fan of Man of Steel. And I liked Batman v Superman a lot. I loved it. Borderline. There were some things in there that I didn't agree with, but I thought that they were risks worth taking. Seems like Wonder Woman is not going to be taking the same kind of risk. To me, it almost seems like a guaranteed home run.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think we have it in our show to kind of talk about, but like there have been some supposed kind of test screenings, and everybody's kind of saying we have a home run on our hands. So I definitely agree. I think it is a little safe. And I don't know if it's like intentionally, hey, let's play a safe Wonder Woman story. But like, if you're going to do like a Wonder Woman origin, like this is the perfect way to go. This is the route to go. That's just, it's her story. So,
not to mention Captain America, the First Avenger is my favorite Marvel movie. And I think a lot of the things that made me love that movie will make me love Wonder Woman. Captain America, the First Avenger. Forgive my Marvel talk. You can skip ahead a minute and a half if you don't want to hear this filthy Beyond bile Marvel spewing spewing forth out of my mouth. But it was a war movie. I was very invested in the characters of Captain America, the First Avenger. And some people argue against that, saying that Steve doesn't have an arc. I just disagree, and I'd be hard-pressed to tell you what the arc is, honestly, but I like it. I'm very invested in his little band of soldiers that he puts together, you know, Bucky and the other guys whose names I don't remember. I was invested in them. I just don't know their names. But I think we'll have something like that here. You know, we'll have a war movie where the stakes are high because we don't know who's going to die. This is country versus country, duking it out with the most lethal weapons that have ever been seen in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like that you brought up we don't know who could die, because, like, you know, we see Wonder Woman in the BVS, and she's alone. She's just, like, chilling. So we could have almost like a Rogue One on our hands, spoiler alert. We're just, you know...
I'm sure everybody's seen Rogue One.
You better have seen Rogue One. Anyways. But you know what I mean? Just, like, maybe that's her kind of take on how dark the world can be. Like, she lost everyone she came to love of this world.
Something turned her into the hardened warrior that she is in BVS, and I think we're going to find out what that is.
Yeah, because even you see in some of the trailers, like, she's walking around, she has these moments of, like, holy cow, this is a dark place, but, like, most of the time, she's, like, kind of, like, awestruck, like, look at this world, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We haven't really seen her, like, hit reality, and there goes gravity sort of thing.
Is that, like, an Eminem quote?
I cannot have confirmed on your mind.
Okay. Anyway, this is getting me excited. It's getting me excited to see somebody who is a known... He's not a hater, per se. Maybe a skeptic of the DC movies. He's very excited about this. And so that's what I've got to say about that one. That's a great article. Look it up. All these are great articles, so look them up and read them. The second one I picked out from a different article is actually a scene description, so I will say minor spoiler alerts. If you're trying to go into Wonder Woman blind, then skip ahead to maybe the 29-minute mark here. We're going to talk about it for a minute.
You know, just the preface here, if you've seen the trailers, it's just a little bit of an extension of what you've already seen.
Okay, so let me go ahead and read this scene, and I'm going to try to introduce a little heroism to Wonder Woman. Well, I'm not going to do it personally. The scene does that. I will be the vehicle for the scene to be carried to your ears.
No pressure.
Okay, the scene begins with Wonder Woman, Trevor, and their crew. See, there's the crew that I was talking about. Maybe they've got some cool, quirky crew members. Anyway, their crew going through the trenches trying to figure out how to get around the fighting. Wonder Woman is confused about why they're trying to avoid battle and learns from a scared civilian woman that other civilians have been forced into slavery by the German troops. While Trevor tries to make the case that they need to stay on mission, that's not good enough for Wonder Woman. She climbs out of the trench and starts charging at the enemy line. The German troops fire on her, but she deflects bullets with her bracelets, then deflects mortars with her shield. Trevor realizes that Wonder Woman is drawing the enemy fire, so he and his fellow soldiers climb out of the trench and follow Wonder Woman into battle. We've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it, but the way that it's described in this article is that it's intense, character-driven action, that we really care about everything that the people that we've grown to know through the movie are going through right there, and that excites me.
Yeah, I really like that kind of, like, every battle that she goes into, you kind of know, I mean, from what we've seen so far, you kind of know why she's going into that battle. It's not like she's looking to pick a fight. It's not that she, you know, it seems to, like, a lot of this movie has to do with kind of her moral consciousness. Kind of like, you know, I would argue Captain America is kind of a similar way, you know, like, he goes and he rescues his friends from that German prison because, you know, it's the right thing to do, you know.
Yeah, she's not so concerned about the mission. She's just concerned about her own moral code and doing what she believes is right. You know, it's implied in her mandate, if we're going to quote Attack of the Clones, which I will.
That was a deep quote from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I love that line. I just think it's so funny. There's a couple... Never mind, we won't talk about Attack of the Clones. That's for the Star Wars podcast that we're starting soon. Okay, so this next one, wasn't quite sure what to title it, so I will go without a title to avoid controversy. But it has to do with sexism. And basically the concept of this article is, how do we have a movie about a female heroine with a male sidekick without, again, being sexist. It could have easily been, you know, Steve Trevor saying, oh, silly Wonder Woman, this is how things work in man's world. But that's not how it's going to be, according to this. So let's read a little bit about it. You want to go ahead and read that quote?
Yeah. So last week I went to London to visit the edit bay for Wonder Woman. I got to see some scenes that put my fears to rest. What Jenkins and the screenwriters have clearly done is make sure that Wonder Woman's naivete always comes off as satirical. She comes from a place where women are strong and powerful, and she's baffled as to why they're not treated this way in our world. Trevor's not there to point out the shortcomings in Wonder Woman's knowledge. She's there to point out the shortcomings in Trevor's society.
So, what I find interesting about this is if you think back to Thor, the first Thor movie, we're kind of describing the opposite here, to my knowledge, to my remembrance, because I remember Thor being a movie about this guy has no idea what's going on in our world. He's smashing coffee cups on the ground. He's trying to buy a giant dog at a pet store so that he can ride it around. And I think Wonder Woman's going to come into our world and she's going to show us, she's going to point out the flaws in our society as opposed to the other way around. We point out the weird things about her. And I think that's going to have a very empowering feel. It's going to make us feel really good. It's going to be a feel-good movie.
Yeah. And I'm excited for, we've talked about this before, like what this movie will do for females in film. So I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but I recently rewatched Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching the behind the scenes, kind of the special features.
Yeah.
And one thing I never really thought of, Amy Adams talks about like working with Jeremy Renner, who's like the sidekick, if you will, to mm-hmm. Amy Adams. And she's said, I really admire Jeremy because not all actors are willing to work in a film with a female lead. And just like that part of like Hollywood hadn't really like tracked my mind before, that like actors would say no if the female was the lead and they were like the peon to the female. You know what I mean?
I do.
And so like that was just an interesting concept to me, and it like made sense in my mind, but like just based on society. But I like kind of tying this back to Wonder Woman, that like this can show that like female leads are awesome. And I think maybe even Jenkins said this, don't quote me on it, but just like kind of Hunger Games kind of paved the way a little bit for us to be like a little more okay with like,
yeah, I do female... remember somebody saying that. Yeah. Maybe it was Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, I don't know, but like female heroes are cool and like guys can rally behind them and girls can rally behind them, and I think Wonder Woman is going to be like the cream of the crop, at least unprecedentedly, like unabashedly
she
awesome.
She is the greatest female heroine that we have. And I'm excited to see her on the big screen. Speaking of women, let's move on to our next point here. This is from an interview with Gal Gadot herself. And she was asked the question, what's the best part about being cast in this role playing Wonder Woman? And she says, the best part? Somehow I think that I always wished to play Wonder Woman without even knowing it myself. 8 years ago, when I just became an actress, I used to travel to Los Angeles and take general meetings with different producers, writers, directors. They kept on asking me the same question over and over again. What's your dream role? And I kept on saying, I'm open to all genres, as long as the story is interesting enough. But if you're really asking what I would like to do, is to show the stronger side of women, because I feel that there's not enough stories being told about strong women and independent women. And little did I know that 5 years later, I'd land the part. So here's Gal Gadot essentially saying that she's landed her dream role. And in my opinion, Wonder Woman has landed the dream actress. Gal Gadot is amazing. I think she really embodies what Wonder Woman stands for. She's strong, powerful, caring, totally awesome. I don't know. I just love her. It's impossible to watch an interview with her and not crack a smile. She's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't really have much more to say about that. I think it's really good. The more I kind of see of Gal Gadot and get like her personality, even like on social media and stuff, she is Wonder Woman in so many ways, like of just like she's strong, and she's just like the greatest thing about Wonder Woman is her character, kind of like Captain America. It's mm-hmm. like I love Captain America because he's strong. No, like you love him because he's like almost like Superman. He's like Boy Scout Supreme, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he just is straight arrow, like, you know, all of SHIELD is going against you, but you're still going to stand strong.
Exactly. Cool. So the final Collider article is another interview with Patty Jenkins. The topic's really varied, so I thought I'd just go through, kind of tell you what it's about. There's some cool things in here. So she talks about female superheroes in general. She talks about what makes Wonder Woman different from Batman and Superman. And I think that's really interesting. This is going to be a very different kind of movie from Batman v Superman, because we're going to see a superheroine in her full glory. You know, it's not going to be the huge internal issues that Batman and Superman were struggling with in Batman v Superman. This is just going to be Wonder Woman showing through her true colors, and we're going to be happy to see it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got more talk about making Dr. Maru or Dr. Poison a female villain. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. She talks about making a movie where the lead actress was cast by somebody else, meaning Zack Snyder cast Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, and he already had debuted her in a different movie, and then Patty Jenkins had to come along and build a story around a character that she didn't cast or make the first movie with, which can be kind of difficult. And she had some interesting things to say about that. And she says, you know, let me just pick this quote out. "To my great surprise, Gadot is the greatest person in the universe who could have played her. They did an amazing job casting her. So when I came onto the project, originally I had been talking to the studio a couple different times where they had been going about it in a way where I'm like, I'm just not the right director for that, sadly. Because these are long roads and you can't get into a war where you want two different things. You have to sign on to something where you know you're making the same thing." So she kind of speaks to how she loves Gal Gadot in the role of Diana, and she loves the vision that they presented to her of Wonder Woman, and she was on board with that. So this is a cool interview. Really, all this stuff is amazing. It's a ton of text to read, but you should go read it. Links will be in the show notes. And now we arrive at the final and biggest piece of news of the day. The
precipice, if you will. So... there have been teases.
Kind of a lame build-up, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We can try it again. The biggest news piece of the day.
The precipice, if you will. We are getting a new Wonder Woman trailer, and there is a teaser for that trailer, which, I mean, side note, I just want the real trailer, like, teasers for short trailers.
Shoot.
But it's getting me pumped up.
You know, I don't mind a teaser if it's this short, because as of today is Friday, March 10th. This trailer is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if they're going to release it with that short of time between, I can handle that.
That's true. And I think, you know, the Wonder Woman ones have kind of bought me up more to it. They've just been really done really well. But anyways, there is a 15-second clip from the new trailer. You see Wonder Woman training in Themyscira. I don't know the name of the character she's training with. I feel like we should know her name.
Antiope or something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, but she's...
We're imposters.
She's getting her butt handed to her on kind of the practice field, if you will, in a sword fight. And her trainer says, you know, you expect the fight to be fair. You know, you need to pick up your game. But then she blocks the blow with her...
Her gauntlets. Yeah.
And unspeakable power in the league.
It was amazing.
I don't even know how else to put it.
This teaser gives me psyched. When I see this trailer tomorrow, I will probably cry. This 15-second clip got me more excited than all the other trailers combined.
I think so too.
I don't know exactly why.
I think part of it is, like, I wasn't expecting to see that at all in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a, spoiler, I didn't want to see Doomsday.
Yeah.
But it was more of like, hey, like, there's an aspect of Themyscira I wasn't ready to, like, I wasn't...
Yeah, I mean, they're warriors, and we get to see them training to be warriors now. And they talk about... We're going to push her harder than we've ever pushed any other Amazon until she's the best of all of us. That's amazing.
And what I like about it, too, is I think up until this point, I've been kind of expecting, like, very little, like, Themyscira build-up. You know what I mean? Like, we just kind of, like, assume we know Wonder Woman's character.
Yeah.
But, like, this is showing, like, we're going to build Wonder Woman on
Themyscira.
Looks
like we might have some. Yeah. Some Themyscira scenes.
Yeah. And just kind of building her character before she goes out in the world. So, like, she has this... We, as an audience, have this contrast of values in society. I'm so excited.
I'm excited too.
There's a beautiful poster too. Check it out.
Yeah. So I think that's about all I have to say about that. I mean, we will talk about the trailer tomorrow when it comes out. You don't have to worry about there being too long for that. But yeah, for now, we'd love to hear your feedback on anything we talked about. Lego Batman, Matt Reeves, the Nightwing movie.
Did you see that one?
Okay, here's the big updates. Literally, while we were talking about that teaser, another one dropped.
Yeah, this one on Facebook, by Wonder Woman's Facebook page, as is appropriate. This one's less kind of, I guess, revealing of new things, kind of we're talking about the Themyscira
scene. Yeah, we'd seen it all before.
Yeah.
A little bit of new dialogue, and it looked snappy, it looked funny, I liked it.
Yeah, but, you know, the little line that I like that kind of goes along with what we're talking about is Diana says, you know, or, sorry, Trevor says, "Welcome to jolly old London." She's like, it's hideous. Like, she comes from this bright place, and you see this, like...
Yeah, Themyscira is beautiful.
Yeah, you see this view of London, and it's just black. Like, and really, really, really dark gray.
Sorry to our British listeners. It's one of my dearest desires to visit London, but they really didn't make it look good in that shot.
Well, it's a World War, like, one era of... Yeah, anyways.
It looks great now, I'm sure.
It does.
Okay, so that's what we have to say about that. If you got feedback for us, we're on Twitter at Beyond Batcave. We're on Facebook at Beyond the Batcave, the Batman-centric DC movies podcast. And we're also on our websites, beyondthebatcave.com. You can comment directly on the post that contains the podcast. We are dying to hear your feedback. There's so much juicy news out there.
We want to know what you think.
We can't have the only opinions in the world.
We want to know what you feel.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it there until tomorrow when we have a Wonder Woman trailer to talk about, and we're super excited. So, until next time, Batfans, I'm Andy Piper.
And I'm Taylor Jackson, and we are Beyond the Batcave. Signing off.